Peter Stark's Astoria, John Jacob Astor and Thomas Jefferson's Lost Pacific Empire, a story of wealth, ambition, and survival, is the tale of the quest to settle a Jamestown-like colony on the Pacific coast. Though the colony itself would be short-lived, its founders opened provincial American eyes to the remarkable potential of the western coast, discovered the route that became the Oregon Trail, and permanently altered the nation's landscape and global standing. Astor's goal was commercial, to set up a global trade network based on the mouth of the Columbia River in what is now Oregon. Jefferson envisioned a separate democracy on the West Coast that would spread eastward to meet the young United States. Again, the title of the book is Astoria, John Jacob Astor and Thomas Jefferson's Lost Pacific Empire, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Peter Stark to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I'm pleased to be here.
What got you thinking about this and exploring this Lost Pacific Empire?
Before I get to that, I just want to say that was a great summary of the book, and so you've saved me a lot of work and summarize.
Good.
So what got me interested was that I'm an adventure and exploration writer and adventurer myself, and I've got increasingly interested in exploration history. And a few years ago, I was driving through eastern Oregon, which is very empty, desert-like, remote, on a long, lonely road, and researching a book about empty places, and I ended up in a little town called John Day, Oregon, for the night. And the next morning, I said, "Who's John Day?" And I did some research, and it turned out John Day was a member of the Astor Party, an Astorian, as they call them. And as I read about his story, it was just such a crazy story that he'd been left behind, starving. He'd poisoned himself by eating the wrong kind of root that the Indians were eating. He was he was helped by a lot of Indians, but one group stripped him naked and sent him out into the wilderness. He eventually was so traumatized he tried to kill himself at one point. That got me interested in the story of what was this expedition. I've never heard about this. And it turned out to be this enormous expedition, an enormous effort to settle the West Coast, to start a big trade empire, as you described, trade empire and a West Coast colony, like the West Coast version of Jamestown. And yet it's been really a forgotten story in the popular consciousness, even though historians know about it, Western historians. And my theory is it's so overshadowed by Lewis and Clark. It came right after Lewis and Clark.
Right.
But that's how I got interested, is just by one guy, John Day, that led to more and more stories about this.
This is 5 years after Lewis and Clark. So give us a sense of how John Jacob Astor and Thomas Jefferson got together and wanted to explore this.
Well, that question has many ramifications, but Astor, there's a deep connection to your region, exactly where you are. You're in the Hudson Valley, aren't you?
Right, northern, yes.
So Astor was a young German immigrant who came to the U.S. right after the Revolutionary War. And he started in the fur trade in the Hudson River Valley and made quite a lot of money and invested in New York real estate and had a very smart wife who was helping him in New York real estate. And he understood that the West Coast would one day be a very important part of the North American continent. And sea otter furs, actually Captain Cook's men in the 1780s had discovered that sea otter furs that were purchased on the West Coast for about a dollar's worth of trinkets could be sold in Canton in China for $100. And that generated an enormous interest in the Northwest Coast commercially. And so ships from Boston came around to the West Coast, to the Northwest Coast, and began trading. Astor, because he was tied into the fur trade, heard about that Meanwhile, Jefferson had sent Lewis and Clark to the West to explore the Louisiana Purchase and try to find a water route across the United States, or across North America. It wasn't the United States all the way across at that point. And so Jefferson was tuned into the West Coast earlier than many, many, many of his contemporaries, as was Astor. And Jefferson's man, Meriwether Lewis, came back from the West Coast from his successful expedition and said, we really should have a seaport at the mouth of the Columbia. And Alexander Mackenzie, the great Canadian-British explorer, had crossed Canada some years earlier and had said the same thing. So Jefferson had it in his mind that we need a colony, a port on the West Coast. Astor saw the tremendous commercial potential of a West Coast port, and he came up with this grand scheme, this trans-Pacific, trans-global trade scheme to essentially try to monopolize the world market on furs and basing it out of a colony on the West Coast. And so the two of them got together. Jefferson wrote, or Astor wrote to Jefferson in 1808 and said, you know, dear sir, I have this idea. And Jefferson said, oh, we've got to get together and talk about this. And so they had a meeting and at the president's house in Washington. And you can just sense there are no direct records of the meeting, but they clearly just fueled each other's enthusiasm for this idea. And Jefferson was a huge cheerleader of Astor's great undertaking.
Even though they had, as I mentioned in the introduction, different goals, there were different agendas afoot.
Exactly, and Astor's agenda was primarily commercial, and to funnel as many furs from North America as he could possibly gather through his own hands through this West Coast port and ship them to China. And Jefferson's goal was primarily political, or even you could say geopolitical. He was, very far-reaching in his vision. And Jefferson saw it, this West Coast colony, as the beginning of an American democracy, or even a sister country, a sister democracy on the West Coast. He actually saw it as a separate, it might have been an independent country, but a democracy, and that democracy would spread across North America and eventually maybe South America, starting from this West Coast colony and starting from the East Coast, and meet in the middle of the continent. So that was Jefferson's grand scheme. And Astor's grand scheme was this trans-global trade.
Why do you believe there was such volatility in these trips and in these attempts?
Well, that's another good question. One very clear cause of the volatility, for instance, that you're referring, I think, in part to there were two expeditions sent across the continent. Jefferson's or Astor's advance parties, two advance parties, huge undertakings, way larger than Lewis and Clark. One went overland across what was to be the Lewis and Clark route. Another went by sea around Cape Horn. So the ship, the Tonquin, the ship that went from New York around Cape Horn by sea, aboard that ship was this really diverse mixture of cultures. And you had a very fierce, rigid and militaristic sea captain. He was a naval hero who had been hired by Astor to captain this commercial ship. You had Yankee sailors. You had French-Canadian voyageurs who were very much a happy-go-lucky kind of lot. You had Scottish fur traders from Canada who were very clannish and kind of clubby among themselves. And you had essentially what was a mix of the North American continent that hadn't quite melted into the melting pot. It was pre-melting pot. And you had them all jammed aboard a 100-foot-long ship with very different ideas about how this ship should be run and how this empire should be run. So the Scottish fur traders and Captain Thorne, the first night out at sea, got to gunpoint over what time the lights should be turned out aboard the ship. And that set the tone for the whole sea voyage. And it only went downhill from there, the relations between the parties.
When you in writing the book, you talk about on the Pacific coast, the nature played such a huge role in this. And this is interesting given your background as someone who is an explorer and an adventurer, and you have firsthand experience with this terrain, and that plays a really large role in the story.
It plays a tremendous role in the story, and in a way that I think it's hard for us to appreciate today, just how remote the West Coast was in those days. And we think of it just, you know, part of the United States, part of North America, it's very accessible. Then it was, you know, it's been compared to being as about accessible as the moon back then in a lot of ways. That there was essentially the edge of the continent is where the largest ocean of the world began. The edge of the continent there was covered with this dense temperate rainforest. It was battered by storms. It was at the mouth of the Columbia, the sun shone only, you know, 50 or 60 days a year. There were Indian tribes that were very sophisticated, very wealthy from all the salmon and the tremendous sea life on the West Coast, that had elaborate trade networks, very sophisticated cultures who were ensconced in that territory. So for the whites, the Europeans, to show up, it was just as remote and as difficult as you can imagine, way more remote in some senses than Jamestown or the Plymouth Colony were from England when they were established in the early 1600s. It was 21,000 miles around Cape Horn to get back to New York from the mouth of the Columbia. It was 12,000 miles to China to send a message. Anywhere would take a year to get there and back. And that the difficulty of communication played a whole huge role in this story. And the sheer exposure, as I put it, as adventurers and mountain climbers call it, exposure, when you're in a place on a mountainside, for instance, where if you fall, the consequences will be extremely dire, fatal. That's called being exposed. And I say that in the book, I describe this colony and these men on the West Coast as an exposed coastline as any in the world. And they had to deal with that, the tremendous force of nature there and the tremendous uncertainty of how they would be received by the indigenous people.
It is a fascinating story. The book is Astoria, John Jacob Astor and Thomas Jefferson's Lost Pacific Empire, a story of wealth, ambition, and survival. The book is published by Echo. Peter Stark, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Astoria, it's published by Echo. You're listening to The Roundtable in WAMC.